listening to Wells Tech, episode 562, recorded on August 14th, 2018. Salami and Swiss. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, we first of all would be remiss if we didn't give a big shout out to Sally's mom, who's celebrating her 88th birthday. Happy birthday, Sally's mom. We're also going to be continuing our discussion of the book Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy on productivity, focusing your attention, and slicing and dicing the task. Sally is a great pick. New Bible Lens app from the folks at YouVersion that you're not going to want to miss if you take photos on your smartphone and want to share the Word of God. This is the pick for you. I talk about screen protectors. We have some great community feedback, a video of the week, and much more. Stay tuned. Hello again, Sally. How are you today? I'm assuming you are in Minnesota somewhere. That's always the question. Where's the pin in the map?
We're doing great, and we are home sweet home, or at least what used to be our home. We're staying at Flandreau State Park in New Ulm, Minnesota.
Oh, awesome.
Got to worship at our home congregation this week, so feels good to be here, just mainly letting our son connect with his friends before they all head off different directions to college. So ready to move.
Yeah,
him
I never
in.
Thought about that. Church membership, so you're going to keep that stationary as you bop about.
Yep. For now, we're still members at St. Paul's. We're just delinquent a lot of the time.
You don't. Yeah, that's right. You don't transfer every time you stop in a new location.
No, not exactly.
Okay. Good.
But today is a special day, Martin. I need to pause the regular podcast business and do a shout out to my dear mom down in Mississippi. Today is her 88th birthday, so happy birthday, Mama.
Doesn't normally fall
on a podcast day, so I thought it was a good thing to do.
Nice. Always good. It's always a good idea to do a shout-out on Mom's birthday, regardless of what you're doing. So, good deal. Well, we're happy you're back in. I've always wanted to. I've visited Flandreau a couple times, but I thought it would be neat to camp there, and I didn't know if they did a lot of that. So that seems like a pretty setting.
It is, and yeah, I'm probably 100 yards from the beachfront, which is super nice, just right down the trail, and I'm at the nice man-made swimming pool that they have here at Flandreau. Busy place in the summertime.
Awesome. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, enjoy yourself in New Ulm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are going to continue our discussion, and I'm actually kind of excited about this week's show because I think there's some interesting suggestions that are made in this book by Brian Tracy called Eat That Frog on Productivity. We're up to chapters 17 and 18. Chapter 17 is entitled Focus Your Attention. Sally, maybe just a high-level question. What do you think of the book overall so far? I didn't prep you for this question, but just your general impression so far.
I think he's got a lot of good things to say. I think he says a lot of things over and over again, even though there's 21 chapters and he touts it as 21 tips. He's really just driving home the same message from a lot of different angles. And I'm with you, Martin. I thought these two chapters had some really great ideas in them and things for me to consider as I try to hone those productivity skills.
Yeah, I think there's nothing really new here. Some of this is common sense, but it's good to kind of think about it and maybe cherry pick some things that might make sense for your workflow that would make a difference. And maybe that's a good thing about any book or conference that you attend, just trying to find a couple things that are going to make a difference. Not that you take this, and I don't think this really is a system per se, that you would say, well, if I start with number one and finish with 21, I'll have the Brian Tracy Eat That Frog system. But just some overall concepts and some tips and tricks, maybe I'd call them, that maybe jumpstart a few areas of your productivity life. So
yeah.
it's been a good focus.
I don't know about our listeners, but it's been interesting as I've read through the book and we've discussed it this summer to kind of analyze the frogs that have hopped into my path. And you know, I sometimes feel like God gives you opportunities to make use of your new skills. And so it's been a good exercise for me this summer, for sure.
Right. Right. So in chapter 17, as he normally does, he outlines the problem. And the problem in this chapter on focusing your attention is how you start the day. And one of the suggestions or one of the presuppositions he makes is that a lot of people start their day with what he calls a few shots of dopamine triggered by your email or IM bell going off. And you find it extremely difficult after that to pay close attention to those frogs because you like those little bits of email and IM that come in that you can see what's coming next. And he's talked about turning all those notifications off in the past, but he kind of steps through why that's a bad practice is to, you know, kind of take those little short things right at the beginning of your day. And I'm as guilty, if this is truly a bad thing, as anybody else, because one of the first things I do when I jump into the office is I jump into my inbox and my email and try and knock off a few of those. And he's suggesting that's maybe not the best approach.
Yeah. And I think your mileage may vary because if your job depends on you communicating via email, and oftentimes he'll say, tell people if they want to get in touch with you to call you.
But call, right.
I think we're a little bit past that maybe in this day and age. People have that expectation that you're going to pay attention to their communication via email. And so you have to have a good balance there because, my job in particular, I want to be on top of what people are telling
right.
me. I need that,
it
you know,
is part
up
of
to the
it.
Minute.
It kind of sets the table for your day, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
exactly.
you're going to have to weigh the differences. But if you know, your job isn't demanding in that regard that people are expecting real-time communication with you via email, then yeah, I definitely agree with what he's saying here. You're going to be more focused if you don't let that wag your tail kind of thing.
Right. And before we jump into his real tip or how he suggests you structure at least the first part of your day, he talks a little bit about what he calls the multitasking illusion. And we've talked about this before, that multitasking is just another name for doing, you know, screwing up a few things at the same time. And he kind of reiterates that too, that it is very difficult to multitask. And really what you're doing is you're just doing, really quick task shifting. You can only do or think about one thing at a time and you're just kind of going back and forth, you know, really quickly. And ultimately, his last sentence in this paragraph is they also make more mistakes. And I guess I would believe that as well, where you're trying to get back on track. And he talks about how long it takes to get back on task once you've taken, you know, a detour, so to speak. And I find that too. If I'm juggling too many things, I do tend to be not as precise in what I'm doing, and I do make mistakes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that shifting gears, sometimes I can just feel it drain on me when I finish one thing finally and I need to switch back. It's really hard to jump in there and eat that frog to get your gumption up and shift to something else when, you know, things are constantly changing, you're juggling. So definitely
right.
agree with
right.
what he's saying there.
So what does he say you should do
right.
with your day?
The solution is to be more focused, to think about one thing for a longer period of time and get rid of everything else. So turn off the distracting email. He suggests checking your email just twice a day and maybe at lunchtime and towards the end of the day or something like that. He suggests focus for 90 minutes at a time and then take a lengthy break so you do something else. And so that as you're digging into something, you're very focused on it for a long period of time. Reminded me of the Pomodoro technique, Martin. We've talked about
right.
that. It's been quite a while ago that we talked about it on the podcast. But Pomodoro is the Italian word for tomato. And it's a technique that someone invented back in the 80s where he turned on his kitchen tomato timer, the little crank up timer and worked on one thing for 25 minutes and then gave himself a 5-minute break. And you can get apps that will actually help you stay focused, you know, give you that 25-minute timer, ring a bell, allow you to take a 5-minute break and then get back to it. So I have one on my phone called Focus Time. It's an iOS app, but it's all based on this Pomodoro technique. So not something new, although his length of time, 90 minutes, that's a big chunk of time. So
right. And then he says break for 15, then to 90 more minutes. Mm-hmm. So that basically takes you from breakfast to lunch. So it's basically your morning, so to speak, I think. And then he doesn't really talk about what happens after that. But that does, I think that does account for some of those frogs, because maybe the 20, and I guess, like you say, mileage may vary, and you're going to have to determine what the sweet spot is for you. But some of those frogs are, you know, big, long morning activities.
Definitely. I could see myself being able to get a lot done in that amount of time. So not knocking it, but it also is going to be determined by what demands there are on you in your particular job situation.
Yep. If you need to be open and available for people to pick up the phone or whatever, sometimes you don't have a chance. You don't have the opportunity not to do that. So
yeah, this little summary at the end of the chapter says, ask yourself, is this helping me achieve my most important goals? And, you know, if it's not, then you need to be able to have the discipline to put it aside and get focused, basically.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to chapter 18, shall we? That is entitled Slice and Dice the Task. And he's really addressing a problem here of one of, why are we procrastinating? Why are we putting these tasks off? Sometimes because they're too big. We can't, we don't know which end to grab. We don't know where to start. We seem, we're threatened or overwhelmed, or, you know, it's so distasteful because it's so big that we just try and we'll do anything to do something else. And he's got a number of solutions or suggestions for how to break those tasks up into smaller bite-sized pieces that might make it more palatable.
Right. Reminded me of David Allen and the getting things done technique. And probably the very first illustration anybody reads, if you're reading David Allen, is that you need to get your car tires changed. And you put it off and you put it off and you put it off until you break it down. And what you really need to do is determine where you're going to go and call them and get an appointment and, you know, do the smaller steps to get the big thing done. And that's what Brian's saying here. He calls it a salami slice, just a bite-sized piece that you do to get to make progress. And some of that dopamine he talked about in the previous chapter, some of that feeling of accomplishment, completing something, is going to spur you on to doing more and more.
Right. I always use the illustration because when I was teaching these productivity classes and talking through David Allen's book is so it's the very next action. So let's say your project or your goal is to build a deck. You know, that's a big project. You know, what would be the very first step, and then break it down into smaller steps. So maybe your very first step is to establish a budget, or look for plans online, or buy lumber, or, you know, it could be one of 100 things, and there probably are 100 little tasks that make up building a deck. But you have to identify them, write it down, and then start with that. And it becomes a lot more doable versus, boy, I don't know if I can build a deck. I don't know where to start.
You know, and like I said, I've heard that technique a lot of different ways, and the salami slice is a really good way to illustrate it. But Brian Tracy, the author of this book, Eat That Frog, actually has a different illustration involving food. I'm a little bit hungry on this podcast. Besides salami, he's talking Swiss cheese as well. And this is a different technique where you're just kind of punching a hole in something, you know, making some progress from any different angle. So maybe salami is more of a linear progression through a project where you take it just the next obvious step in a time. But you're making progress if you do it the Swiss cheese method as well, where you punch out different problems here and there and not in a real linear fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cheddar is my choice of cheese that goes with salami, but I get the illustration. So,
I'm hungry.
And that's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So I guess the point is take action immediately, do something, pick something. And he does admit that this may not be the most productivity focused choice, but just getting going, starting something is better than just kind of being overwhelmed by it and not eating that frog.
Right. Frogs are so tasty.
They are, yeah, especially with Swiss cheese on
them. Wow.
All right, still hungry?
Let's go
on to... We are actually headed toward the end of this book. We only have, I think, two more weeks, right? Chapters 19 and 20, and then tip 21 and conclusion. So just a couple more weeks of this, and we'll know everything we need to know about a productive lifestyle. So
no excuses.
No excuses, right. Let's move on to our, speaking of productivity and tips and picks, it's time for that part of our show. Sally, what's your pick of the week? Do you find something interesting to share?
I did. I'm not sure if it's productivity related. It might decrease my productivity because it's a pretty fun new mobile app that comes to us from our friends at Live Church, the people behind the Bible app that's probably the most popular app for Bible reading out there in the mobile space. This is called Bible Lens. And it currently is only available for iOS, although they made promises that the Android version is coming soon. And it's a free download, so no cost to it. It basically analyzes your photo library on your mobile device and overlays verses to go along with your personal images that are part of your photo library.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it goes out and takes a look at some of the more recent ones and suggests verses for them. And I've been playing with it a little, and it's been a lot of fun. It does some really nifty different designs with the verse overlay. So for each picture it chooses, it'll give you like five or six different verses that may be appropriate for that picture. I'm just counting. I think it actually gives you seven. What a great number. And then once you, you know, look through the verses and maybe find one that you like that goes with it, you can swipe and see all different types of designs with your image and that verse, you know, meshed up on the imagery. And so they give you different fonts. They sometimes apply frames and little call out kind of text and things like that. For instance, I'm looking at one that it picked up from my photo library of my RV and our tow car, just a picture I took in the campground of our campsite. And it gave me the verse of Psalm 121, verse 8, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore." Great verse to go along with our travel lifestyle mm-hmm. that we have going right now. But I can swipe and see, I would guess, 12 to 15 different versions of that verse, including one that just has the word protection really large and emphasized, and then the Psalm reference, Psalm 121, verse
yeah.
8. So not the
awesome.
Verse verbatim, but, you know, a word that comes from that protection. And so I think they've done a really spot-on job with kind of relating imagery to verses from God's Word. I uploaded one from the fair. We went to the fair recently. I had some animal images, and it gave me some creation verses and lion and the
so
lamb.
It's got a little artificial intelligence built
exactly,
in it.
Exactly.
That's cool.
You know, pictures of water, and it gave me some baptism verses or like a tree planted by the streams, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's pretty smart. I give it an A for matching up imagery with verses, and it's pretty fun. It may not help you with your productivity, though, because you may be sucked into playing with the new Bible Lens app if you get it on your phone. Another neat aspect is they made the news. The app was released on August 3rd, so it's been about 10 days that it's been out. And around the 6th and 7th, there were some news articles in various Christian media sources saying that they were so excited because in the first three days, they had 265,000 installations of their new Bible Lens app. So that's really exciting to see God's word in that many people's hands. You know, people excited to download the new app and make use of it. So good stuff.
Very cool.
Encourage you to try it out, but unfortunately only on iOS at this point.
Yep. So can you pick your translation, I'm assuming?
I did not see settings to that effect, Martin. That's a great question. And I wonder if it's getting my translation from what I specified elsewhere.
Your default, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and well, here's a settings app. It does allow you to pick your translation. You know, you should do a pick of the week on the Bible Lens app. I dug, and there it is. I can get to my account. I can, and it allow me to like share these on my Bible account and things
just like
that
the,
as well.
Just like the other stuff that they provide.
Yeah,
you can and attach it's your verse, share a verse.
Not a real lengthy list of translations. There's maybe 12 or so here, but NIV is one of them, and so is Holman Christian Standard Bible. So do and.
Awesome.
ESV. So there's several options there that you can make use of. So
very nice. Great way to share the gospel in a very personal way, which is awesome.
Absolutely. You'll look like a fancy designer if you just use their app. So
nice pick. All right. My pick is actually something that I've used for quite some time and just never thought of sharing it because it's somewhat invisible. It's a screen protector. And I like the quality. It's from a company called I don't know quite how to pronounce it. I'll spell it I-C-A-R-E-Z. iCares or Cares. I'm not sure how they would pronounce it. They're a company out of Seattle, and I looked on their site about how to pronounce their name, and they gave me no guidance.
But something loud just happened. Sorry about that.
They give. No problem. They give their sub theme is Care Mobile, Care You More. So I don't know if that gives us any guidance either. But they have products for all mobile, many mobile devices. So the one that I use specifically, which we'll put a link in the show notes for, is for my iPad. And the version that I have is the Anti-Glare Matte Screen Protector. A couple things I like about it. The price is one. So for $13.95, you get two sheets. So if you botch the installation, and the installation is not super simple, you got to make sure that the screen is totally clean and get all the air bubbles out and totally positioned right. But there are some helpful YouTube videos that walk you through it. But one of the neat things, it's antimicrobial for one, so it's supposed to be a cleaner experience than just the glass that you get on your phone or your iPad or whatever device you're using. It's very smudge resistant. That's one thing that I don't know if that's just part of my nature where I just hate smudges. So I've always got a micro cloth around polishing up the device. But this you can just wipe with the back of your hand or side of your hand, and the smudges come off. It's a lot better experience in that regard. So a lot fewer smudges. The matte screen also is anti-glare. So that's one thing that sometimes I'll have problems with depending on the light. If I'm outdoors, certainly, or the wrong light indoors, sometimes hard to read. But this gives it a nice matte finish and gives you a nice viewing experience. I would say the only knock that I would attach to it is that you can, like any matte screen, it will show some pixelation on some images, but I would say you get used to it really quickly and it doesn't bother you after the first day or two of use. So that's just a minor drawback. But like I say, fits many different screen sizes. You can't even tell it's on the screen if you do it right. It goes right to the edge of the iPad that I'm looking at. Has the appropriate holes for the camera and the Touch ID. And again, you get two. It's a lifetime warranty. Another thing I like about it, especially if you're like an Apple Pencil user, gives you a nice, more papery feel. So it's, I think, if you use an Apple Pencil or some kind of stylus, sometimes it feels a little odd writing on glass. And if you're familiar with the iOS devices, especially, very slick, very hard glass, and get that tap, tap, tap sound when you're trying to write on it. This dampens that down and gives you more of a textured feel, so it feels a lot more like writing on paper. So the experience, I think, is a little bit better there, too. So you throw all that together, lifetime warranty, pack of two, and the price, I would really highly recommend these guys. You can get them on Amazon. You can go right to their website. But all of the major phone manufacturers, tablet manufacturers, they have all those sizes. And they don't just have anti-glare matte screens. They also have the glass screens, the tempered glass that a lot of people like because that gives you a lot more protection as well. So you're putting a lot of money into your device, so you might as well protect the screen. And I never really had a desire up until about a year ago to put anything on the screen. You just felt, boy, this seems a little bit foreign, and I don't like the edges and those kinds of things. And then I noticed some micro scratches on the last couple devices that I had and thought, well, enough of this. That bothers me more than having the screen protector on the top. So the screen protectors go on, and this just happens to be a great deal and a really high-quality product. So that is my pick of the week.
Well, you talked about exactly what I was going to say. It was, it's been since my very first iPod Touch that I've put a screen protector on my screen. So interesting that you kind of came at it the other direction. You didn't use them, and then you added it. I can say that it seems like over time the smudging just really cakes up on there. It's really hard to keep on top of it. If you use your device for a really long time, it seems more and more susceptible to holding on to that kind of stuff. And so I could definitely see reconsidering my position on screen protectors.
All right. So those are our picks of the week. We do have some community feedback we'd like to share, right, Sally?
Yeah, definitely. We heard from Teacher Michael Vliger, who teaches at Risen Savior in Milwaukee, and he actually shared a couple of interesting links. So if you're in this space, you may want to read up on these. The first one is an article from Google where they're announcing the new Google Classroom. So they've made some pretty significant changes to Google Classroom over the summer. And if you're heading back to school, or maybe you're already in school, probably a good idea to warm yourself up to what's happening in Google Classroom if you haven't used it since last spring. This details all the differences, and I think it's just making things better and faster and allowing you to communicate more easily with your students and manage the work better as well. So reusing information, people and settings page is more intuitive. And more updates are coming out, and they kind of detail some of the things that are on the horizon as well, like creating quizzes in a locked mode. And some of these things they announced at ISTE. I didn't really hear from any of our listeners as being attendees at this year's ISTE. I think it was in Philadelphia, if I remember correctly. So if you were there and caught up with Google and know some inside scoop on Google Classroom, or if it's rolled out in your Google Apps installation and you're making use of some of the new features, we would definitely love to hear from you and hear your reaction to it. One more googly thing that Michael shared was an article from The Verge, and this is more in the lines of the tech rumor mill kind of thing, as Google and Apple and Microsoft, they all tend to have these big conferences where they announce new things. So Google has one coming up this fall, and people are speculating about what they might see as that conference rolls around. And one of the guesses is that they're developing support for Windows 10 on Chromebooks. So the rumor is that they may announce a new Pixel device, and that may have some crossover use as a Windows 10 device. They're dubbing the project Campfire, which is an obvious nod to Apple's boot camp, and perhaps the dual boot will be happening soon on a Pixel computer near you. So we'll have to watch the developers conference for that and see if it does come to pass. Be pretty impressive if it rolls out to Chromebooks that are used at a classroom level, a big niche for Chromebook uses in the classroom. And so we'll have to wait and see how that might affect those Chromebooks.
Very good.
Yeah. And then one other piece of news came from our friends at Koine, and it's a pretty big announcement from them. Martin, we talked about this recently, that our friend Jason Jasperson is teaming up with Koine to create worship media, and they actually have a brand new site called koineworshipmedia.com. It says they're empowering Christians worldwide with high-quality digital worship resources. And the idea is that you pay what you want for their media packages, which is an interesting pricing model to go with. They have a page out there with Just As I Am, Without One Plea, that song, and all types of resources. So they're presenting you with a whole library of resources around the music. So you can get accompaniment resources in MP3 format. You can download sheet music. You can get media resources like PowerPoint slides or Pro Presenter slides. And then you can also get video resources with accompaniment only or with the vocals along with it. So a full package of resources that can be used in a worship setting. And this is just one example of many that they plan to produce in this new role at Koine Worship Media. So check it out. Check out the free resource for Just As I Am, Without One Plea, and maybe you'll be using Koine resources more in the future.
Very nice. Interesting. Looking forward to that. Yeah. We did have one other piece of feedback that I don't think we put in our pre-show notes, and that is a Facebook comment from Bev Nels. Bev says, have you ever discussed captioning options for church sermons, services, online videos on Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, etc.? And Bev, we have, but it's been a while, and it's probably worth revisiting that because I think some of the technology and especially some of these social media apps has gotten a lot better. There has been some advancements and some automation there. So that's a great suggestion for a future topic. And I don't know if we have anything in the wiki on this. I thought we did, maybe even had a link, but I'm doubting whether it's current at this point. So that's a great suggestion, Bev.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. I missed that one, so very good.
No problem. If you want to contribute to the show like Bev did, it's very easy to do. You can go to our Facebook page, Twitter, hashtag WellsTech. We have a Digo account. We have Pinterest. All those social media outlets are available to you. If you just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see a bunch of logos that you might recognize. Just click on one of them, and you'll be transported to the appropriate place. We also love to get email and voicemail. wellstech@wells.net is our email. Voicemail, just go to our show notes page and click on the, I believe it's the blue button, blue bar on the right-hand side of the screen. And it'll say, speak into your computer, and it'll come directly to us. So we'd love to hear you or your comments. Can be comments, questions, or as Bev said, question and maybe a suggestion for a future show. So thanks for contributing to the show, and join the conversation.
We have
Sally, I believe it's a video of the week, and this is a nice dovetail to your pick of the week.
It is. We have a video of the week that features YouVersion Bible Lens, my pick of the week. They just have a real brief overview video, so it'll show you the things that I attempted to describe for you in a real quick, concise way and get you excited about using the new mobile app. So check out the WellsTech page where we'll have that video for you to view.
Very good. And earlier in the show, I mentioned that we are winding down on the book Eat That Frog. We just finished chapters 17 and 18. Up next week, as you might imagine, chapters 19 and 20, create large chunks of time and develop a sense of urgency. So make sure you put that on your calendar to tune in next week, and we would carry on the conversation and hopefully become better stewards of God's time that He's placed in our hands.
So, yeah, I always wanted to be able to create time or add time to my calendar. So
yes, we're going to be creating large chunks of time next week.
Apparently, so. We'll see.
Very interesting. So tune in. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week and giving us a little chunk of your time. Really appreciate that each and every week. Bring a friend next week and have a great week. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.